as you can imagine, I find a lot of the Bible absolutely epic, like unbelievable. It's just unbelievable truth that you just get to access whenever you like. But this particular passage we're going to look at now is just phenomenal. So I'm going to just draw attention to it. And then what we're passionate about is we talked about this earlier with the practice of Jesus, that they bring protection. They also bring connection, but fundamentally they bring transformation. So we're going to go and chat in our groups about some of the points that come up. So what is brilliant whenever we read any kind of scripture is if there's a phrase or a word that leaps out at you, that's God already speaking. So don't just ignore everything else I'm going to say because he's already speaking to you. Then another thing is in discussion, sometimes someone will say something and you'll go, oh yeah, that penetrates me. That does something. That liberates me. So that's him speaking through someone else. And then sometimes when we speak, we can speak out, and as we're speaking, we realize that's revelation. So that's what we're going for, is connectedness with God, okay? Through speaking now, through chatting around the tables, and in order to bring the transformation. So if we could look at 2 Corinthians 5, it's verse 15 onwards. It's just epic. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. So the whole toxic human condition was crucified with Christ. It's just epic. There's no place of darkness or death or unbelief or mistrust that can live now. It's just all been crucified, fully and completely dead and gone. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So this awful kind of driving need for self-focus, of just self, 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 that deep neediness is just crucified, and we don't need to live like that anymore. And then the upshoot of that is, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, which is sort of categorizing, putting people into boxes, kind of maybe what the size of your house is, or whether what your kind of status and relationship is, or kind of a car, or might have or not have, maybe what country or class or background, all these kind of ways we try and control the chaos of our lives and bring a little bit of significance. That's just crucified. It's just gone. It's not real or true. We don't regard anyone. So we could, historically, and there may be some people who haven't met Jesus in this way and still do, just as like he was a great kind of devout Jewish guy. He sadly was crucified, so he didn't really succeed. And we can analyze, you know, what he did. And before we met him as Jesus, as the risen one, as the anointed one, we probably analyzed him a bit like that, if we thought about him at all. But now we don't. And in the same way, we don't see Jesus like that anymore. We don't see each other like that anymore. Does that make sense? So we used to, before we believed in Jesus, we used to think that we kind of, maybe he existed, maybe he's a myth, not sure. Okay, if he existed, he was good, he taught, he was Jewish, he was crucified because that was the most brutal form of execution that humans have ever devised and was banned when the Romans converted to Christianity. And he had this amazing message of love, but it kind of failed. So we might look at it a bit like that, like, oh gosh, what an amazing guy, but tragic. And we might look at other people like that, like, oh, you know, they've got some good bits, got some bad bits. This bit winds me up. Don't like this. But that's crucified, isn't it? That old way of thinking, because Jesus isn't that. Jesus was the one who took the whole toxic human condition within himself, fundamentally crucified it, and was totally, historically, materially raised from the dead. And no one's ever found his body. And on that, the world turned upside down. It's irresistible truth. It is so hard when you actually think about it, not to believe in it. It is that he is the civilizing effect on humanity. He has changed the world for the better. Every good thing now we can trace back to his influence. There is it's absolutely undoubted that he physically and historically raised from the dead. And that is the game changer, because that means he must be God and man. Not just a great man or a mythical man or a kind man, but God in human form. And then what this point is just as we change our mindset fundamentally about who he is, we now have a massive change of mindset about who other people are. In that same degree, we see people as shining, as glorious, as powerful, as good, as true, as beautiful. Does that make sense? We just, every single categorization we once had is broken, and we just love people. We're just free to gaze upon people and honor them and respect them and serve them and bring that kind of challenge to be the best we can all be. That's shifted now. And most of all, and I think this is a real game changer, we view ourselves differently. Our mindset's changed. So we talked about this, and I think historically, this is awful, especially if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, I apologize. We've seen this as pie in the sky when you die, but it's actually steak on the plate while you wait, Claire. I'm sorry, Steve, I'm sorry. I just need a rhyme with plate that isn't meat. And pie can be vegetarian, so that's all right. You were right. They were vegans and vegetarians in Eden, and I'm sure we will be in heaven. We're just catching up with you guys. But anyway, if anyone can think of a better analogy than steak on the plate while you wait, that's a bit more like 21st century, do let me know. I like rhymes and poems. And the point is, the change of perspective we have about ourselves is the biggest game changer of all, because that's really how we view Jesus and other people comes down to how we view ourselves. So if we're marked by self-hatred, we will hate other people. We say we'll love them, but we won't. We'll violate every time we're with them, we'll violate them. We won't be able to give them goodness because we haven't received it ourselves. Does that make sense? It will be a false humility at best. So we need to have a change of mindset that right now we have a full authority in Christ. Right now we're empowered and true and good and beautiful, and that's the achievement of the cross, and anything else is actually a pride. It's actually a resistance to what he's done. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And that's just fantastic for Andy and Steve and for all of us who've been baptized. That the old has gone, what we thought was great has gone, what we thought was awful has gone, everything's gone. It's just so temporal and periphery compared to the eternal substantial nature that we live out of now. And I use this word nature because now what is natural to us is to be like Jesus. What was natural before was to be self-focused, and that could have looked great. We could have looked very charitable, but fundamentally we're still meeting our own needs. But now there's a naturalness to being like Jesus. There's no striving, there's just being. We're just in him, and we do as he does. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We can only be an ambassador, a representative of another realm, a representative, a good and appropriate representative of another culture, if we're fully in that ourselves, if we're fully under his governance and in agreement with the truth about us. So an example in my life, I talked last week about my big struggle is with overeating. So and I can look at that in two ways. One way I can look at that and say, almost kind of like this stage, I can say, I'm always struggling in this area. My mindset, my thoughts can be, this is something I struggle with. This, I'm not good at this. I'm greedy. I'm this. I'm an emotional comfort. Do you see what I mean? I can think like that. And that is actually my old nature, the disconnected nature, the nature that's been crucified. But what I can now do, and we can all put, like, fill in the blanks of the areas where we don't live according to God's design, is actually, I redefine myself. I don't define myself like that. I define myself as someone, do you know what? I'm just self-controlled. I'm loved. I'm able to find comfort in God. I love to go to him to hear his word. It's my bread and my food to me. And as I do that, as I walk out the truth of who I really am, I find that I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And my body is literally coming into agreement with truth. So that's what I want us to do around the tables now. Is ask each other, what are the kind of statements we're saying about ourselves that are still really our old nature? Does that make sense? They're not actually true anymore. They've been crucified. It may be things like, I think I'm a superhero. You know, there may be that. We have to just let that one go because we're not superheroes. But mainly it's self-hatred stuff, or it's shame or guilt or fear or anxiety. And just start to say, actually, do you know what? I'm a bold person. I'm a kind person. I'm a powerful person. I'm a humble person. We just take the salvation now. Today's the day of salvation. It is steak on the plate while you wait. Just hate that. It's just so wrong. Just to chat in your groups. What are the areas of struggle that you're still defining yourself by, but as crucified, you don't need to define yourself like that anymore? Laziness, fear. Yeah, addiction. It could be anything, but it's dead, and we need today to start bringing some replacement truth in. Actually, I am self-controlled, I am kind, I'm bold, I'm courageous. Does that make sense? So I pray, and then we want this to be transactional. Lord, I thank you that we are transformed physically by the renewing of our minds. And in fact, Melanie's here today was saying that now that every thought produces a hormone which affects us physiologically, and we have millions of thoughts each day. So we can just realign our thoughts with truth, and that will affect us physiologically. We just know that now. So I pray today you call into the light the statements we say about ourselves which are not actually true or real anymore, and call into the light the truth statements that we need to start coming into agreement with and believing and living out of. Forge our new nature in us today. Forge an agreement and a realignment that this is who we are. In the name of Jesus, amen.